Welcome to the Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 regular closed session meeting of the East Bay MUD Board of Directors. Due to COVID-19 and in accordance with the latest Alameda County Health Order and with the Governor's Executive Order N-2920, which suspends portions of the Brown Act, this meeting will be conducted solely by teleconference. And in compliance with those orders, a physical location has not been provided for this meeting. These measures will only apply during the period in which state or local public health officials have imposed or recommended social distancing. All directors, including myself, will be participating by teleconference. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Directors Coleman?
Present.
Director Katz?
Present.
Director Lenny?
Present.
Director McIntosh?
Here.
Director Mellon?
Present.
Director Patterson?
Present.
President Young?
I am here. Before we take public comment, I would like to wish our general manager a very happy birthday today. Mm. Happy birthday, Clifford.
Thank you. I just want to share, I got my letter from AARP last week, and my wife and kids forced me to get a picture of it with me holding the letter, so I'm feeling older than I should be.
Well, they sent it out pretty early.
No.
Welcome, Clifford.
That makes you 50, I guess.
Half a century, thank you.
Yeah, plenty of ways to go. Okay, we're now going to move to public comment. If there are members of the public calling in who wish to speak on an agenda or a non-agenda item, the secretary will take your name. I will call in alphabetical groupings and ask you to state your name, affiliation, and topic. When you're called by the secretary, you'll have 3 minutes to speak, but I do have the discretion to amend this time based on the number of speakers. When it's your turn, the secretary will state your name and cue you to speak and also let you know when your time has concluded. If you are not speaking under public comment but are on the line, please do mute your phone to minimize background noise or consider following along on the East Bay MUD the audio on the East Bay MUD website. Is there anyone on the line for public comment with the last name beginning with the letters A as in apple through F as in Frank? Okay, how about G as in Gladys through L as in Loretta?
Eric Larson, President, Ask Me Local 444.
Okay. How about Mary through Robert?
Joe Pangelinan, Chief Steward, Local 444.
Okay. And Samantha through Zelda. Okay. Risha?
Yes. I'm ready.
Eric,
you are first, and I'm going to start your time now.
Thank you, Risha. Good morning, President Young and directors and staff. In the short time I have this morning, I want to express concern for our janitorial staff, whose workload has increased exponentially with the need to provide safe working conditions for all our staff who are required to report to district facilities by repeatedly and routinely cleaning and sanitizing high-touch areas such as buttons, doorknobs, railings, in addition to the bathrooms, and visiting sites sometimes twice a day that formerly they visited only twice a week. Additional deep cleaning duties have been asked of the janitorial staff to deep clean areas where COVID-positive individuals have been known to be working, in addition to the regular cleaning work they already do. Their stress level is quite high, and the new and increased importance of the work that they do to provide for the safety of our workforce should be recognized and valued. The second point I want to make is that no AFSCME Local 444 represented classification can telecommute. And due to the COVID situation, if I'm out sick with COVID-like symptoms, I am now required to have 3 days symptom-free before returning to work. So if I'm sick for 1 day, I may be required to use 4 days of sick leave, three of which I'm perfectly healthy and available to work. Similarly, if an employee is diagnosed to be COVID positive, and I was determined through contact tracing to have been in close contact with that individual, I will be required by the district to self-isolate for up to 14 days on my own time. I can use the FFCRA 80 hours, but once that's gone, it's on my own time, and that's not right. We are asking for an accommodation in these cases. Provide telecommute, work from home, or place us on paid administrative leave during the time that I am well, but required to stay home to protect our workforce. These are complex issues. If I call you, a board member, to discuss these issues, it is to inform you how your district policies are playing out on the ground and are affecting your frontline essential workers who are out in the field every day making East Bay Mud safe and making East Bay Mud work. These are your constituents, and you should value them and be concerned about their safety and provide policies that such that they are treated equitably. Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate the 3 minutes.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, next we have Joe Pangilinian. Is that, did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Pangilinian.
Pangilinian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pangilinian.
Pangilinian. I'm going to start your time now.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, Board of Directors, General Manager, staff. I wanted to bring up the issue of military leave during this pandemic. We currently have a member who is going to be deployed on involuntary orders. And that employee's concerns right now on this extended deployment of 14 months is loss of both pay and benefits during this deployment. Previously, this board had approved Resolution 33602-7, which provided compensation to district employees on military absence. That resolution provided differential pay and benefits to employees on a military leave of absence. I wanted to bring this issue to your attention. We'll also be bringing this to our labor management meeting on Thursday. But hopefully we can get this issue resolved so that this employee and all other employees pandemic that will be affected can be made whole. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joe. Are there any other people who wish to speak on public comment? Okay, if not, we will adjourn to off this line to a different teleconference for our closed session meeting, and we'll return here at 1:15 for our regular meeting. Thank you.
Marguerite?
Yes, yeah.
I would... was wondering if we could get perhaps a memo or something on the last speaker's issue on military leave.
I think it's actually going to be covered. I think it. We have an item coming before us in our closed session.
Fine. I missed seeing it there, but thank you. Okay, I withdraw.
Okay. Welcome to the Tuesday, July 14th, 2020 regular meeting of the East Bay Mud Board of Directors. If you're not speaking, please go on mute. Due to COVID-19 and in accordance with the latest Alameda County health orders and with Governor Executive Order N-2920, which suspends portions of the Brown Act, this meeting will be conducted via teleconference only, and in compliance with those orders, physical location has not been provided. These measures will only apply during the period in which state or local public health officials have imposed or recommended social distancing. The Planning Committee and the Legislative HR Committee met this morning and will report under item 24. All of the directors, including myself, are participating via teleconference. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Directors Coleman?
Present.
Katz? Lenny?
Here.
McIntosh?
Here.
Mellon?
Present.
Patterson?
Present.
President Young?
I am here. Okay, we'll now do the Pledge of Allegiance. You can stand if you're able to do so. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Alrighty. There were no announcements from closed session. We'll now move on to public comment. If there are members of the public who are calling in and wish to speak on an agenda or a non-agenda item, the secretary will take your name and I will call in an alphabetical grouping and ask that you please state your name, affiliation, and topic and agenda item if you are speaking on an agenda item. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. And if it's on an agenda item, I guess that will be on the agenda item when it comes up. And I do have the discretion to limit the time based on number of speakers. The secretary will call your name, cue you when it's time for you to speak, and your time is up. Bill, could you put... or everybody be on mute if you're not speaking. If you are not speaking under public comment but are on the line, please mute your phone to minimize background noise or consider following along with the audio, which is live streaming on the East Bay Mud website. Is there anyone for public comment with the name beginning with the letter A for Anna through F for Felicia? E for Gloria through L for Lisa. M as in Mary through R as in Roxanne. And Sam through Zebra. Okay, anybody that missed their alphabetical group calling? All right. We will then move on to this consent calendar. We have 12 items for consideration. Do board members have any items to pull from the consent calendar for discussion?
This is John. I'll move 1 through 12.
This is Frank. I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor will need a roll call vote.
Directors Coleman?
Yes.
Katz?
Yes.
Lenny?
Aye.
McIntosh?
Yes.
Mellon?
Yes.
Patterson?
Yes.
President Young?
Yes. Okay. We are now on to determination and discussion. Item 13 is the legislative update from Marlene Dumais. Marlene, take it away.
Thank you. Good afternoon. We have a written ledge report for you today that has position recommendations for three state bills and one federal resolution. And we did talk about these this morning in the Ledge HR committee. I didn't know if Director Coleman wanted to make a comment.
Sure. Thank you, Marlene. We did meet the full committee this morning, and we were in support of all three positions that Marlene and the staff presented.
Okay, the first measure, thank you. The first measure is AB 2060 by Assemblymember Holden. This measure builds on East Bay MUD's Get Out the Lead legislation from 2006. At that time, what was put in statute was a reference to third-party certification standards for faucets and other end-use devices. What this bill recommends is an update to those standards to a more strict standard. So it moves the leaching potential on that third-party testing from 5 milligrams down to 1 milligram per liter of lead. So it's a more protective standard. We are recommending a support position on this bill.
Marlene, for, on that one, does the bill analysis, which I didn't get an opportunity to look at, talk about how long they think that will take to kind of cycle through the plumbing infrastructure or the, you know.
Are you thinking about the ability of manufacturers to meet it?
Well, the third party liability isn't retroactive, right? So if you have a fixture in your house now, it won't apply to it. It'll only apply to a new fixture that gets put in. So is there an estimate of how long?
Oh, the natural replacement, is that
yeah.
what you're thinking?
Yes, I think.
They did not comment on that I've seen. What they did say is that testing what's on the market today, about 75% of the faucets today already meet the standard.
Okay.
So we may have some already in place, and then there's that natural replacement cycle as well.
Okay, so the thought is that this will get those 25 or 30% either off the market in California or they'll start meeting the standard.
Correct.
Okay.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, AB 2421, this is Assemblymember Quirk. This is one of two wildfire-related bills. And this is trying to get at the issue of the reliability or availability of cell phone towers during a fire event. And his approach is to expedite the permitting process for the emergency standby generators for existing cell towers. And there's conditions placed on it. The generator has to be within the physical footprint of the tower, and the tower has to have already been permitted. It would expedite those permits until 2024, so it's essentially a pilot to see how well it works. And there is a provision in here about at the time of the application that the permission of the landowner is not needed, but the local government, the city or county, can require verification of that permission before they actually do construction. And we are recommending a support on this. Next bill is SB 1348. This is Senator Stern. This is also a wildfire-related bill. This has to do with defensible space, and it has four main provisions. One is it would add to existing law on identifying areas of the state as very high fire severity zones. It would add to that identifying moderate and high fire severity zones. Secondly, it would require CAL FIRE to expand eligibility in its existing grant fund to also include projects for vegetation management along roadways and driveways, also include public education and outreach regarding home and community wildfire resistance. So it leaves the existing grant fund program in place and just expands the types of projects that would be eligible to compete. Third, it requires CAL FIRE to take on some additional responsibilities. One is to adopt regulations related to defensible space requirements in vacant lots. That would also apply to East Bay MUD's vacant lots. Two is it would require them to develop and maintain a public database on the inspections on these defensible space. And we are requesting an amendment here to clarify that the development of that database would be public and would have stakeholder involvement. The third thing, it would require CAL FIRE to develop a financial penalty structure. And then finally, it would require CAL FIRE to develop a program on the environmental requirements for projects on national forest lands that are at least 50,000 acres. And then the last thing it would do is require the Building Standards Commission to update its building codes for the construction of new buildings in these fire severity areas. And we are recommending a support and amend on this measure to capture that amendment on the stakeholder process for the database development.
Okay. Any questions on that one?
I have a question back to AB 2421 when we're done with the batch.
So I can either go on to the federal resolution or we can pause and finish up the state bills. Whatever your pleasure is, President Young.
Why don't you ask the question, Andy, on the Quirk bill?
Yeah, have we evaluated the fire safety implications and our site security implications for having a requirement for or streamlining requirements for backup diesel generators on all approved sites? It seems like this would obligate us to allow for greater access to our lessees who would need to maintain and perhaps intervene in the middle of a fire emergency. And our sites tend to be secure. So I don't know if we have considered how those risks and obligations stack together. Have we already done that review?
Well, two things on that. One is this is not requiring generators on every site, but rather for those sites where they want to have one, it would expedite that permitting process. As far as our own properties, we have had our staff look at the bills concerns, and there were no concerns about access to the site expressed for this particular bill. And we were looking at it more from a increasing communication reliability during the disaster as being the driver on this one.
Yeah, I agree that in the big picture, that is a big benefit to the public. I think we should be thinking about if this bill were to become law, how would we balance our security constraints and the needs of our leaseholders. And if we identify concerns, we should advocate for amendments on this bill or integrate those concerns into ministerial permits that we would require prior to proceeding. But I can support the recommendation with that comment.
Okay. Thank you. Ready for the federal resolution?
Yes.
Okay, so the federal resolution is I'm flipping here. It's on page 9. House Resolution 988. And the resolution is titled Condemning All Acts of Police Brutality, Racial Profiling, and the Use of Excessive and Militarized Force Throughout the Country. The write-up repeats much of what's in the resolution, and we looked at the resolution in the context of the resolution that you as a board adopted at the last board meeting and felt that this House resolution is very consistent with items 7 and 8 in the East Bay MUD board resolution. Item 7 reads, review and update the practices and procedures of our internal security force and contractors to ensure that their interactions with the public are appropriate, including during public meetings or protests. And item 8 is to engage our partnering law enforcement agencies in dialogue to express our concerns and inquire about the steps they are taking regarding issues of excessive force and or violence by their officers. House Resolution 988 is co-authored by over 100 members, and I will point out that Representative Lee is one of the co-authors on this measure, and we are recommending a support on this House resolution.
Okay, is there any further discussion or motion?
Move adoption.
I'll second that. This is John.
Do we have a motion and a second? Any further discussion? Any public comment?
Participant lines unmuted.
Anyone for public comment? Okay. Madam Secretary, let's move to a vote, please.
Directors Coleman?
Yes.
Katz?
Yes.
Linney?
Yes.
McIntosh?
Yes.
Mellon?
Yes.
Patterson?
Yes.
President Young?
Yes. Okay.
Couple of updates?
Yeah.
I wanted to, first of all, at the state level, let you know a couple things. One is, as far as the operation of the legislature, there have been some COVID cases both among members and among staff. So the Senate and Assembly have both recessed until July 27th. They were originally intending to be back yesterday. This leaves them with just about a month to deal with 700 bills and additional budget items. So we may see a further narrowing of priorities in that last month of session. Also wanted to give you a ballot update. There are now 12 items on the ballot for November, and Proposition 16 is ACA 5. We expect the ballot statement on that one in September. Once we have the ballot statement, our intention is to bring Proposition 16 to you for consideration of a position. So that would either be September or October, depending on the timing on when that ballot is available.
Okay.
And at the federal level, the negotiations on the relief package are now scheduled for the last 2 weeks in July. And what we're hearing, some of the items on the table, this is not the exhaustive list, but still looking at tax credits for the CARES Act leave. They're still looking at ratepayer assistance. And then other items such as extension of unemployment benefits and perhaps another round of financial direct assistance going to citizens. But they are looking at potentially a lower income threshold on that. More to come as we get details of the negotiations.
And nothing on state and local backfill isn't on the list?
On state assistance? Yes, state assistance is on the list. The local assistance would still be limited to cities and counties. Like the first round of CARES Act, special districts are not part of the local assistance. One of our message points has been all along that at least include special districts that are frontline water and wastewater utility districts specifically. And the desire has been very clear that any assistance would either have to accrue through that payroll tax credit and ratepayer assistance, or at the state level, the state portion coming down to those local governments. We did try on the first round with the state assistance, and it was clear that the state wants to use that to help address its own budget deficit.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, any other questions for Marlene? Thank you. Moving on to the general manager's report. Clifford?
So Derry Moten this morning provided an update on the district's racial equity and justice project to the Legislative Human Resources Committee meeting, and he is available to provide an update. He can give a similar presentation or answer any questions that the board may have.
I'd be interested in the presentation.
So would I.
Sure.
Derry will queue it up in a minute.
Bring up Teams. It's not there. So you have to bring up the Adobe file first. Okay. Now you want to bring your Teams back up.
If directors could go on mute during the presentation, if they're not already.
Good afternoon, and we'll be providing you an update today on the Racial Equity and Justice Project that was part of the resolution that was provided at your last meeting. To begin, what we want to do is give you a little bit of background about where we are currently in the process. You provided the guidance and provided the resolution that has 8 strategies in the program. We are currently working toward creating action plans for the strategies and the principles that are outlined in the strategies. And so today we're going to give you a bit of an overview on how we've categorized the work and progress that we've made so far. So actions taken to date include expansion of the existing wellness check-ins, which we began early in the process after the events unfolded. The wellness check-ins have been available to employees that wanted to find some form of support in how they were processing and dealing with, again, the challenges related to that from a personal level. The Black Employee Network has begun outreach to talk to and create opportunities for conversation with employees, and they have an event tomorrow that will, again, provide additional outreach and additional opportunity for dialogue. We have also hired a consultant to provide the project management services for the overall project. That individual is Maria Robinson, who is a former employee of the district and has been doing and working with the district on various projects and both team development and employee relations over the last several years. And then finally, we did a review of the Diversity Inclusion Master Plan, the general scope of work for the program, and identify where there is crossover between this project and the series of strategies and where those crossover or interact directly with the Diversity Inclusion Master Plan, which is in its early phases here. So the key roles that we've identified and started to break the work down into is, again, identification of a project manager to oversee the committee and work that we'll be doing in the projects. We've broken that into a simple structure which has kind of 3 tiers of opportunity for both management and employee groups to be involved. The first is senior management and senior manager advisory teams, which there is a team assigned to each one of the 8 strategies with a pretty wide scope of individuals being participating. The second is task forces, which we've created teams of 4 to 8 employees, which will be comprised of, number one, employees who have specific skill sets that would make them good candidates for the task forces. And then we're looking for diversity within the task forces involving employees that are connected and are desiring to be a part of specific task force areas. The third is then looking at employee focus groups, and within each task force is using employee focus groups as often as possible to make sure that there is a opportunity for employees who are not able to necessarily be part of the task forces but do want to have voice into some of the actions or specific ideas that are cultivated through the task force process. And the final thing in this is then the reporting structure in which each of the task forces will be providing reporting of their progress directly to the Human Resources Department, which will then report up through Ledge HR and then up through the board as well. So we've taken the body of work for this overall project, and we've broken it into three phases. The first phase is immediate actions and things that we can immediately begin working on or already in motion. The second for phase two is near-term action projects that are not directly related to the D&I master plan, which is moving forward. And then phase three becomes long-term projects or actions that are directly related to the D&I master plan or are directly aligned with the master plan. So we're going to give you some information about each of the phases here. So the immediate actions, we've included strategy one, which is listening to the voices of Black and African-American employees at the district and in the external community. This specifically we're doing with projects that are already moving forward, as I mentioned. This SMT advisory team for this is David Briggs, Risha Cole, Marlene Demain, Janetta Johnson, Sophia Skoda, Jimmy Yoli, and Kelly Zito. This particular one, again, we have been looking at our existing efforts with the wellness check-ins and the Black Employee Network. We're also evaluating a couple of other opportunities and options. Our consultant, Maria Robinson, has been doing some additional research with other public agencies to find out what some of them are doing and working with employee groups. And with that, we will be evaluating other opportunities and options for strengthening strategy one. So phase two is working on our near-term actions and those items that are not directly to the D&I master plan. We identified three strategies that are not directly connected to the master plan, and they're items that we felt like we can move forward with and begin working with those without the development of the D&I master plan work that's happening through the Winters Group. In this case, strategy six, which is establishing protocols for following up and responding to racism by customers and any type of external actions that identify challenges with racism for our staff members. In this case, the SMT advisory team will be Risha Cole, Marlene Demain, Janetta Johnson, Andrew Lee, Sophia Skoda, Mike Togolini, and Jimmy Yoloyi. We then are working on strategy seven. With strategy seven, we'll be reviewing, updating our internal practices and procedures for internal security with our force and with contractors. In this case, very specifically looking at how are we dealing with, again, our own internal procedures related to security and how we are actually working with public meetings. In this case, the SMT advisory team is Mike Ambrose, Andrew Lee, Andy Levine, and Mike Togolini. And then strategy eight is the final strategy in this phase, which is engaging our partnering law enforcement agencies in dialogue to express our concerns about steps that they're taking with dealing with excessive force. And in this case, Marlene made a presentation on the House Resolution 988, and that becomes an opportunity for us to have dialogues about how agencies will be dealing with their own application of rules and procedures related to that. In this case, the SMT advisory team is Mike Ambrose, Andy Levine, Sophia Skoda, and Mike Togolini. This brings us to phase three, and phase three are the items that are directly related to the D&I master plan. And as we talked about before, that we are contracted with the Winters Group to provide services around both assessment, training, and education around the issues of equity and inclusion. And for this strategy, for number two, this is the point where we're actually bringing people together to have more dialogue, cross-section of employee district employees and external communities to have conversations specifically about dealing with prejudice, looking at abuses of power, racial bias, forms of racism in different forms, and how we can respond to those things. The SMT advisory team with this is Marlene Demain, Mike Togolini, Kelly Zito. We then will be working on strategy three, And strategy three is us looking at the district's history of how we have dealt with race issues previously and looking at our own internal policies and procedures about how we will work with those in the future and dealing with our issues of employment management, contracting, and looking at, again, solutions to fix any kind of systems that have been compromised or broken. This phase three, strategy three, is S&T advisory team of David Briggs, Risha Cole, Janetta Johnson, Andy Levine, Eileen White, and Jimmy Yoling. Strategy four is the next item here, which is reviewing our internal policies and procedures. Again, this is looking at how our workplace is impacted by issues of prejudice. In this case, our SMT advisory team is Risha Cole, Andy Levine, Eileen White, and Jimmy Yoli. Strategy five is training and development, looking at cultural competence, how emotional intelligence is applied throughout the organization, how do we continue to build sustainable environments that provide inclusive environment for all employees. The advisory team for Strategy 5 is Mike Ambrose, Andy Levine, and Eileen White. In this case, the Winters Group will be working with us to develop training specifically around these areas. We also are currently reevaluating how we're conducting our current new employee orientation, and we have some recommendations on addressing stronger opportunities to build the value of respect and include more information on how to continue to create a respectful environment, how to also deal with issues of stereotyping, and how employees should deal with those things if they are seen in the environment. We'll also be including training on individuals learning how to be allies and learning how to be wise bystanders that can respond to things in proper ways. So the discussion we wanted to offer to you as a board is the opportunity to kind of have some guidance or provide some guidance on how you would like to have the frequency of updates provided both in LegHR and to the board. The LegHR committee did make a couple of recommendations, and we'd love to hear from the rest of the board as well. And also, we'd like to get some feedback from you on the project phases and your thoughts on things that we can either enhance or work toward.
Could somebody from the LegHR committee provide some insights on your discussion this morning?
Sure. This is John and Lisa. Bill can chime in. First of all, we wanted to have it kicked off where it's maybe on a monthly basis. It's reported back, then it's on a every other month basis, and, or vice versa. So we're completely apprised of what's going on. And also, the comment was made that there were not a whole lot of African Americans on the list of names. That's in part because they're not part of the SMT. But making sure that that community of employees is well represented in the second tier of discussion, so that so nothing will be lost, and it's not working in a bubble or a vacuum. Bill or Lisa, do you want to add anything?
I think you said it initially, maybe bi-monthly, because we don't want to lose the momentum here. We want to keep moving forward and positive. So I suggested bi-monthly until they have something to actually report to the committee. And the committee needs to be able to weigh in as well.
So I'm a little bit confused because I heard John say monthly initially, and bi-monthly would mean I always get bi and semi mixed up, but we're talking about reporting every month for now, right? Or the committee needs month, right?
Just for now until so we can make sure the momentum is moving forward. So yes, so monthly.
Every month at the same meeting that the LegHR, the same cycle of meeting that LegHR meets the way that we do that now. Okay.
Yes.
Other board members want to chime in, or Bill, if you have anything to add? I think that sounds right. Oh, I see Doug has his hand up.
I was just going to say, I
can you hear me?
And Bill. Okay, so I got Doug, Andy, and then Bill.
Sorry about that. I think Lisa had it right, and John sent forth the message. We'll be meeting monthly with our committee getting updates. Some of those will come from staff as things emerge, but we want to always be in touch with the stream because we don't want to let this momentum die. In other words, we want the accuracy of where we are at all times and not have anything languish, you know, because it needs our input or support. Basically, that was it.
Okay. Doug, and then Andy?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think the momentum is very important and that we, you know, stay focused on this. It's easy to get distracted by, you know, so many other things that it seems are coming at us, but this is very important, and so I agree with that. I had one question on, I guess it was Phase 2, Strategy 8, engage our partnering law enforcement agencies in dialogue to express our concerns and inquire about the steps they are taking regarding issues of excessive force. What law enforcement agencies does that encompass, and what sort of engagement does that mean, or dialogue? What does that mean exactly?
Yes, the agencies that we've talked about so far have been the East Bay Parks, Alameda County, Sheriff's Department, and any of our upcountry sheriff's departments in those areas as well. Really looking at where we have facilities and how does that interaction between law enforcement and individuals who are either working for our organization or having recreation, how will that impact?
What about Contra Costa sheriffs also?
Yes. Okay. Contra Costa would be included as well.
So dialogue, that means talking to them about it, requesting their policies, and then commenting, getting some feedback to them on it, or?
Yes, and part of the approach will be determined as we get closer to forming the group, but specifically what we've talked about at this point has been using current legislation from Governor Newsom's passing of his legislation last year on excessive force, and then looking at this federal legislation as well, and really giving some opportunity to have some dialogue around how they will be implementing on those two pieces of legislation.
All right. Thank you.
Andy?
So I think the recommendation from the committee members that we heard about committee involvement makes a lot of sense. It would seem that having the full board hear about updates and a progress report on a quarterly basis would make sense at this time, and we could revisit that frequency after conclusion of some of the phases, if not the whole project. And I think we would also want to hear back just prior to the conclusion of each phase so that the full board could provide feedback before a complete set of policies was finalized. So those are my procedural thoughts. Is now the right time to make a couple comments about specific strategies?
Yes, I have one. I'm sorry. I have we have one additional slide to provide, which may add to your discussion. But we did want to open up for general questions about the phasing.
I'm still not. But I think you can make. So why don't you go ahead and do the slide? I thought that was the end of the slides. I'm sorry. Why don't you go ahead and do the slide, and then we'll catch the rest of the round of board members.
So So the final slide that we have is kind of next steps here. The next steps that we've included here have been, number one, we'd like the board to consider the granting of one additional, limited term senior human resource analyst to help support the project. Again, we did hire a consultant to work with us specifically on project management, and this person would be there to work to assist in the work that will go into this and also on the D&I master plan as that progresses. The second, we want to, again, begin recruiting for that position as soon as possible. We're also seeking a consultant for listening sessions. So we have two in place, and again, as I mentioned earlier, we are looking at other agencies, looking at how they're actually doing things and see if there's something we can do to enhance our listening sessions. We will be reaching out and looking for volunteers for the task forces, and we did get guidance today from the Ledge HR committee on some approaches to that. And then we will be working on an overall communication plan for staff, which will give us kind of build our overall approach and our overall pacing for communication with staff overall. So those are the things that we did have as next steps and one recommendation. And so, and answer any additional questions. Yeah.
Okay. So Andy, do you want to make your comments?
Sure. Just a comment, and I'll focus on what I saw as strategy 6. I saw that as something, I welcome all the supportive ideas that come from members of the team and the senior management team and other board members. But I do recall a very on-point comment from one of our employees in public comment at a prior board meeting referring to harassment in the field. And I had one thought about the employee assistance program. And it would seem like evaluation of the services that we look to EAP could fall into this strategy, not exclusive of other strategies, and not exclusive of having in-house services that would provide similar complementary services to EAP. So I wanted to make that comment as applicable to Strategy 6. I'm not expecting that it be formally written into any revision. I just wanted to comment that's how I would interpret some of the possibilities of the scope. I also would like to recommend that we look for the opportunities for that strategy, but maybe others where it would be helpful to involve OGC, not necessarily at the senior level. I'll leave that to that office to figure out the most appropriate way to think about what are the ways that the law reinforces structural racism or reinforces remedies to think, and where are the limits what happens through those systems so that other strategies can pick up. I think that's what could benefit from the right amount of OGC involvement. I'm not in a position to recommend if it would be consistent involvement or a periodic briefing, but I do think some collaboration for specific strategies or specific tools that are being explored could be productive. I'd like to encourage an appropriate level of involvement.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Bill? And then you have to talk already. I'm sorry. I lost track of the queue here. I'd like to go next. I think everybody else has spoken. I actually want to have this come back every month to the full board, as we do with Ledge HR. Oh, Frank hasn't gone. So I, rather than hearing it quarterly, I think this most members of the public are may not be tuning into our meetings right now, but we know they don't tune into our committee meetings. So I want this to happen at the full board discussion. I'm also you know, very strongly echo the comment of making sure that we're involving all of we're involving our employees to the extent that they want to be involved, and encourage them to be involved. I'll leave my comments at that. I'm thinking that I had something else to add, but there'll be other opportunities. Thank you for your work on this. I think it's good to see the progress being made already. Frank?
No, I was figuring I'd save it for last, but if everybody covered what I would have wanted to cover. So thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thank you all. There's no action that we need to take. I think there's a consensus around bringing it back to the full board every month, bringing it to the committee every month, continuing apace. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you all.
Okay. All right. Next, my agenda went off the screen. So, I think we have a coronavirus.
No coronavirus update. I'll just end that we do have in your packets the 6 months forecast for committee and workshop agenda topics, as well as a monthly report, and I can answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Clifford? Any comments for Clifford? Like, oh, I don't know, happy birthday. okay, we're now, I don't see any hands up. Doug, you're not raising your hand still, right? You're done? Okay. We now are on to reports and director comments. With committee reports, the minutes for the June 23rd Finance and Administration Committee are in our board packets, and get a report from Doug from you from planning, and John, if you have anything to add from LegHR, although I think we've pretty well covered that terrain. Doug, if you are, Doug from planning.
You're on mute. Director Lenny, you're on mute.
There we go. Thank you. We had one item this morning. We had an excellent update on the pipeline rebuild program. I found it both fascinating and inspirational in terms of the progress we've made, the hurdles we've overcome, and the teamwork that has developed around that project to make sure that it's efficient, cost-effective, and innovative, and so it was a great update. And that's all there was on that.
Okay, thank you. I'm make sure I'm going to read through that whole presentation then. Anything to add from the planning committee, John?
Yeah, from the LegHR, we dealt with most of the.
I mean, LegHR, sorry.
Two of the items, SB 1348 and AB 2421, which we support today, or I've asked that be kicked forward to the UMRA meeting on July 21st to get UMRA to support those two measures.
Okay.
Marguerite?
Yes. All right.
Just since you're going to get into some fascinating reading on the pipeline thing, one of the things that stood out in the report that we received is that but for the COVID getting in the way of getting work done, we would have been at 20 miles for this year instead of meeting the goal of 17 and a half. And so we're well on track for improving, especially as another team is being added on. The slides tell a better story than the written report.
Okay, good. I'll start with the slides. All right, moving on, if you have any items for future consideration, please submit them to Clifford. And then finally, are there director comments?
Happy birthday,
Clifford. Happy birthday, Clifford. I do actually have one. I remembered what I wanted to ask. If we could make sure that getting included in our report back on the resolution is any... I'm thinking of Eric Larson's comments about pushback on our taking this position. So I really do want to understand if what... I want to hear. I don't just want to hear about the progress we're making, but also about any difficulties that we're encountering, either within our own staff or outside. Okay. Well, with that, I think we are ready to adjourn. Our next regular meeting of the board will be Tuesday, the 28th, at 1:15 p.m. The meeting is now adjourned. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Have a great afternoon.